Eye on the World. I'm John Basher with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, commenting on the Supreme Court. Much in the news because of attempts to persuade, intimidate, undermine the credibility, the integrity, the history of the Supreme Court, now underway from many directions. But we concentrate on what was revealed in a recent op-ed piece at the Wall Street Journal by James Taranto, an editor of the editorial board, and his colleague, Mr. Rivkin, about Justice Alito's thoughts about the so-called Dobbs leak, the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, that Justice Alito's opinion, the draft, was available long before it was revealed last summer. And what we have now is Justice Alito in this conversation with James Taranto and Mr. Rivkin revealing his thoughts about what this has done to the court. Justice Alito, in a remarks at George Mason University recently said, "We're doing our work," about how the court has responded. But he went further in the editorial. I read excerpts. Alito now says that the leak, quote, created an atmosphere of suspicion and distrust. We worked through it, and last year we got our work done. This year, I think we're trying to get back to normal operations as much as we can. But it was damaging. Richard, I come to you on this because Justice Alito then goes on to infer that the investigation of the leak, not satisfied, I believe the version from the court was, we've not been able to determine who or why it happened. The investigation in Judge Alito's case was not adequate, and he has thoughts about who did the leak. My question to you is, in not solving this, not solving how the integrity of the court was damaged, does the court remain vulnerable?
It always does. I mean, what happens if one person gets away with it, it increases the likelihood that a second person will try to do it. I think the mistake that the Chief Justice made was relying on the internal resources of the court to get to the bottom of this, when he had to call in some outside experts with real investigative skill who can pour through this thing, go through the list of all the individuals who had access to the document, which is probably under 100, and systematically try to eliminate them one at a time and come up with an answer. Because remember, what they said was, we don't have evidence to identify the person. That is not the same thing as saying that we think that there's no information. It's that what we do is we have information that makes it say 10% likely that it was X and 15% likely that it was Y and 0% likely that it was 50 other people. That's the same thing as saying we don't know, because I think that the test that you would want for, as it were, the revelation of the name in question is at the very least a preponderance of the evidence. And you're just frightened to death that you sort of think that there's 30% chance that somebody has done it. You release the name. Two-thirds of the time, you're wrong. But if it's a Supreme Court justice or a clerk of a Supreme Court justice or a secretary of a Supreme Court justice and so forth, everybody's going to start to say, well, is it the Supreme Court justice, given the fact that somebody is the captain of his own office and so forth? This is very, very damaging to everybody. And so I think, in effect, it's probably, even though the trail has probably gone a little bit cold, it may well be that you want somebody to do it, but you don't want this to come out of the Congress. And I'm sorry to say that at this particular point, I have so little faith in Merrick Garland, whom I think is one of the worst attorney generals ever because of his own evident bias on the way in which he conducts all of his investigations and all of his behaviors. You can't do it. So, for example, why can't you use him to do this? Well, there's this constant question about whether or not people are allowed to picket in front of Supreme Court justices' houses. There's an explicit statute which says that you can't do this. And the justification for the statute is you can express your views in all sorts of ways to the public at large without having to torment individuals inside. What he does is he says, we think it's unconstitutional unless there's an imminent physical threat to people's judgment. I've yet to see an opinion to that particular effect. I think that it's wrong. I think that the attorney general is under a duty to enforce that particular law. And if somebody wants to come forward and raise the argument that it's unconstitutional, I think he's generally under a duty to defend it, given the fact that it's been an unquestioned practice of the Supreme Court for many, many years. But he's just not doing that. Now, you get a guy who is telling people that you don't do anything unless there's absolute physical danger, a completely inconsistent test with the statute, says, I never knew they had that policy. So he's incompetent in one of two ways. Either he didn't know and he's in charge of something that important, he darn well better know, Or he did know, and he doesn't want to tell what's happening. Well, now you have this particular weaponized for office. Is that the people whom you want to run an investigation in the Supreme Court? And no, it isn't. It's almost, you kind of need like a Warren Commission of independent people to do this, because the level of distrust, fully justified in my view, is that the DOJ at this particular point has become a political shop. They appoint a guy like Jack Smith to hunt
after Trump. We have 1 minute, Richard. 1 minute.
Okay. So they come after Trump, and then they slow walk any investigation of Hunter Biden. So we are in a genuine crisis, and let me summarize it as follows. There used to be a strong set of comity norms, that C-O-M-I-T-Y, that govern relationships between the various branches of government, given the fact that the Constitution itself is a very leaky document with all sorts of incompletion. Those norms were at one time systematically followed. Now it's pretty clear that the Democrats, in their attack on Clarence Thomas and on the court, have broken from those norms. And the moment one side breaks from the norms, you never know what's going to happen next, because it's not clear whether you ignore it, whether you defend, whether you counterattack, and so forth. So once we get into this particular position, what we have to worry about is the political maelstrom, which is about to engulf the United States Supreme Court and indeed the entire system of justice.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.